Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is Radio Shepherd, and I'm welcoming you to today's broadcast. This is Wednesday's Word of Exhortation. And we live in the midst of a sinful world. Sin is all around us, precious saints. But we need to make sure that sin doesn't get inside of us. Yes, sin is all around us. But we must do like Job. Turn with me, if you will, to Job chapter 1. Turn to Job chapter 1. And ask yourself, are you this kind of a believer? The one Verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Do you fear God? Do you reverence God? Do you eschew evil? When evil comes knocking on your door, when sin comes knocking on your door, do you turn your back on sin? That's what it means to eschew. To eschew means to shun. Do you shun evil? Are you turning your back on evil? And so we live in a wicked world. There's no denying that we live in a world saturated by sin. Sinful images are constantly being projected in front of us. There is sinful talk at every turn. Sin is everywhere. But you and I don't have to participate in it. We can say no to sin. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is where we have been spending our time since Monday. Monday we had Monday's word of exhortation. And we talked about be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And Paul laid out a series of ways in which a believer can be yoked if a believer is beguiled in doing so. Don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let Satan trick you in believing that you can be friendly with the world. You can be one with the world. That's not God's will for your life. That's not God's will for my life. Today's text is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Paul writes, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate," says whom? Says the apostles, no, says the Lord. "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Those two verses, verses 17 and 18, are the basis of our discussion for today. Let us pray. Dear Lord, merciful Father, gracious God, we come to you out of reverence, and we seek your goodness, your loving kindness, tender mercies, and we ask you, Lord, to speak to us at this time. Perhaps we are a bit confused because we see how many so-called prominent preachers on television are giving the right hand of fellowship to people in the world. Perhaps, Lord, we were beguiled into thinking that that's okay, that that's fine, that you approve of that. But Lord, speak to us and give us a course correction, Lord. If we are heading down that path, if that is our way of thinking, give us a course correction by means of this word of exhortation. Speak to us, Lord, and show us how we are on the wrong path, if that is what we believe and practice. Oh, speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, the church is so worldly today that you don't know if you are at a church event or if you are at a worldly event. You just don't know. Our sanctuaries no longer look like sanctuaries. Many of our sanctuaries look like nightclubs. The cross has been removed, and we have light shows now. We have people who handle the lights and turn on this color, and they turn on this other color and flash the lights, and it's like you're in a discotheque. It's like you're at the famed but now closed Studio 54. All images that would point us to God, anything in the sanctuary that would point us to God, have been removed. Crosses have been removed. stained glass windows have been removed. In fact, the church, I would say, has been sanitized, cleaned completely of God, just so that the sinner could come in and feel comfortable in their sin. The sermons have been sanitized. In fact, the sermons have been sanitized of God, but polluted with cursing and foul speech. And look what God says here in 2 Corinthians 6:17. He says, wherefore, verse 17, wherefore. Now, wherefore is telling us that something came before. Paul said something before that is now leading us to an action. Well, the wherefore is verses 14 through 16. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness, right living, with unrighteousness, wrong living? And what communion, what koinonia, have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ and Belial? What part have a believer with an infidel? And what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So again, God says, I will dwell with them. I will walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? You see, the wherefore is connected to I will dwell with them, of verse 16. I will walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The latter part of 16, of verse 16, is what leads Paul to write the wherefore in verse 17. Since God says he will dwell with us and walk with us and be our God, and we shall be his people, Paul says, come out from among them. Now, it's interesting because the phrase come out is a verb. Come out. Ekcheromai is the Greek word. Ekcheromai. It really means to come out of a place, to come out of a particular place. So the idea in the text is that we are in pagan places. We are hanging out, if you will. We have parked ourselves. We are enjoying ourselves in heathen places. And God says what? Come out. Come out. Come out. Ek is the word out. That's where we get the word ecclesia, the called out ones. God says, come out. Come out of those heathen places. Come out. But he says more than that, not only to come out, but he says, be ye separate. And the phrase, be ye separate, the idea of telling us to be ye separate means to separate yourself from that locality. So it must be some place you must be visiting, some place that you frequent, and God says, come out and separate yourself from that location. God says, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Those are the three things. Come out. Come out of a place. Remember when God said to Lot via the angels, leave Sodom. Lot, go out of the city. Go out of the city. Separate yourself from this location. Don't take anything with you. Touch not the unclean thing. Why? Because God was about to rain fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, the church has become just like Sodom and Gomorrah. You don't need to go to Sodom and Gomorrah anymore because the church has become a literal Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says what? Come out. Come out. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean. Three commandments. Come out. Ekcheromai. To come out of a place. To come out of a place. Now, it can mean a physical place, but also it could be come out of a mindset. You know, because it's our way of thinking. It's our way of thinking that has us sitting at a certain place. So it's time to say goodbye to the mindset and come out. It's time to be separate. Separate yourself from the locality. And then the Lord says, touch not. Detach yourself. Detach yourself from the unclean thing. Detach yourself from those things that are not pure. Detach yourself. Now, you see preachers that are always cursing in the pulpit, using all kinds of foul language, foul tongue, foul mouth. The Lord says, don't associate yourself with that preacher. Be separate. Come out. Look at the language, saints. Look at the language. Wherefore, since I have pledged to dwell with you, to walk with you, to be your God, and for you to be my people, wherefore come out from among them. Who's them? The ungodly, the unregenerate, those who are not born again. See, the idea is that you are at the wrong place. They're not at the wrong place. They're where they're supposed to be. That's their domain. But you need to what? Come out. You need to leave that place. You need to be separate. Put some distance between you and that place for good. Be separate. When God goes to visit that place in judgment, don't you be there. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't get dirty. Don't get contaminated. Don't get tainted. Now, if you come out and if you separate yourself and if you keep yourself pure, here's the promise in verse 18. The promise is after we obey the exhortation, after we obey the command, then he says, I will be a what? A father. Now, that's important. We go to many of these prosperity gospel churches because we're promised prosperity. But look what the Father says. If you come out of those so-called prosperity gospel churches that really can't deliver prosperity because there is no prosperity apart from holiness, if you can separate yourself from them, if you will come out from among them, if you will leave the unclean things behind, then I will be your father. In other words, God says, I'll be your parent. I'll bankroll you. I'll subsidize you. I'll finance you. I will take care of your needs. And not only will I be your father, but then you shall be my sons and daughters. You will be dear to me. See, you'll be dear to me. All of my children are dear to me. They're my sons, they're my daughters. They are dear to me. But I am their father. Their father comes to their rescue. Their father comes to their aid. Their father comes to succor them. Their father comes to deliver them. Why? Because they're my sons and daughters. They're precious to me. And so the same way in the natural, as fathers and mothers truly come to the aid of their sons and daughters. So God, our Heavenly Father, pledges to be just that, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. See, hallowed be thy name. You got to hallow his name. You cannot taint or pollute his name. He says, I will be their father, and they will be my sons and my daughters. In other words, the father is always caring for the sons and daughters, and the sons and daughters are always looking to the father for help. See, you can only expect God to help you if you what? Come out from among them. Only if you be separate. Only if you touch not the unclean thing. Then you can expect your father to come to your rescue. Then shall you be his sons and daughters. And then you can take this word to the bank because the Almighty has said it. It says in verse 18, he says, I will be a father unto them. They shall be my sons and daughter. Saith, says who? The Lord Almighty. The God who, when he speaks, he fulfills his word. That God says, I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. I will be your caretaker, and you shall be my dependents. I will receive you. See, I will what? Receive you. You will be my sons and daughters. I will be your father, saith the Lord Almighty. If you want God to bless you, if you want God to protect you, if you want God to watch over you, if you want God's providential care, you must of necessity come out from among them. You must of necessity be ye separate. You must of necessity touch not the unclean thing. Only then, and don't let no one delude you into thinking erroneously, only then will he care for you. He's your father. You're his son. You're his daughter. But only as you come out from among them, only as you purposely separate yourself and say goodbye to that locality, only when you decide not to touch the unclean thing, when you can refrain yourself, when you can pull your hands back from touching the unclean thing, then he receives you. And I love the way it says it here. In verse 17, he says, I will receive you. The word receive is a compound. It's a preposition and a verb. It's eis dekomai. Eis, the preposition, which means into, dekomai. And it means to receive. So basically what the word receive means in Greek is he will bring you into favor. You will have God's favor. Favor. You will only have God's favor if you touch not the unclean thing. Only if you touch not the unclean thing, then you will have his favor. Only then will you have his favor. But you must come out from among them. You must be separate. You must touch not the unclean thing. Then he will receive you. Then he will be your father. Then you will be his sons and daughters. Saith the Lord Almighty. But to have this package of benefits, you have to do three things. Come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. If not, if you don't do these things, if you heed not the word of exhortation, you are deceived. For James says, look what James says in James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4:4. James says to us and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Don't delude yourself into thinking. Do not delude yourself into thinking that you can be friends with the world and friends with God at the same time. It is impossible. Impossible. Impossible to be shaking the world's hand and God's hand. If you're doing that, God is not pleased. You must come out from among them. You must be separate. You must refrain from touching the unclean thing if you want him to receive you, if you want him to be your father, if you want to be his sons and daughters. That is the word from the Lord Almighty. That does it for today, saints. There's much to do. We have three things to do if we're guilty of doing them. We must be separate, we must come out, and we must touch not. Then only then shall we be the blessed of the Lord. Well, don't forget to tune in tomorrow for Thursday's Bible study. We're talking about the primitive church. Don't forget to email me your prayer request if you have needs. Don't forget to email me your comments. Always remember that Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church is listener supported. We need your love gifts. We need your financial gifts in order to stay on the air. Now, I want to close with this wonderful hymn that will remind us, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Until tomorrow, this is Radio Shepherd signing off. God bless you.